Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome everyone to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. Hallelujah. We've been on a series, it's been Healing Month, and Healing Month has leaked over from November into December, so this is Healing Months. Hallelujah. We've been talking about healing, and so I'm going to finish off today on what we called FF and BB, FF and BB. And that stands for faith fight and the believing battle. There is a faith fight. There is a believing battle. And we went through Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, and found out there is a battle, and we are in a fight. And we found out that we are to be strong in the Lord and His authority. That our fight is not a fight of people. It's not a fight with people. It's not a people fight. It's a fight against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and the wicked spirits in the heavenlies. And so there is a fight, and it's against the devil and his forces of darkness. And we are told to withstand. Having done all to stand, withstand, and having done all or overcome every obstacle, every attack, in order to stay standing, that we are just to keep standing. How? Keep standing, stay clothed in the armor of God. Amen? Just stay standing. But stay standing clothed and cloaked in the armor of God. This is how we stand. Stand not in our own strength, not in our own ability, but we stand in His authority. We stand being cloaked and clothed in the armor of God, the armor of light, His glory. And then we talked about authority, because we need to understand our authority. In order for us to have confidence, we need to understand that we've been authorized. And Jesus said this in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that we have been authorized. He said, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. We have been authorized. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says that we are to reign as kings in life through one Jesus Christ. Genesis 1:28, we talked about, said that we are to be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, subdue, and have dominion. We have been given authority to subdue and have dominion. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, He said, listen, I've given you authority to bind and to loose. And one translation says it this way, that He will allow what we allow and disallow what we disallow. So we have been given authority to bind and loose, or to allow and disallow in our lives. So now let's talk about this fight or this battle. This is what we're going to finish off with here in regards to our healing month, talking about this fight or this battle. I think a lot of times people, they understand the scriptures, they lay hold of the healing scriptures, they're excited about the healing scriptures, but if they don't understand this part of the fight, they tend to give up too soon. And they lose their healing, or they don't get the complete healing because they don't understand that they have to. There's a fight for it, and they're not fighting God for it. The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So what we're doing is there's a fight against the works, the wiles, and the strategies of the devil to steal what is ours. Right? The devil's come to steal our healing, trying to steal our health, trying to steal our wholeness, and so. There is a fight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 says this. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, or the abundant life and living, to which you were also called, and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So we're told to fight the good fight of faith in order to lay hold of the abundant life and living that God has provided for us in Christ. Now, it's a fight. Now you say, what kind of a fight is it? It's a fight. It's a fight to stay. Say stay. It's a fight to stay in the ring. It's not a fight just to get in the ring. It's a fight to stay in the ring. Because the fight's happening in the ring, right? The fight happens in the ring, not outside of the ring. So it's a fight to stay in the ring under pressure. because the pressure will come. And the temptation will be to exit the ring in order to relieve the pressure. But that's not where victory comes. That's not where winning comes. That's not the winning is not a result of exiting the ring. Winning is a result of victory is a result of winning in the ring. Amen? And so it's a fight to stay in the ring. It's a fight to not give up. Say, not give up. I will not give up. Amen. It's a fight to not give up when we feel like it. In other words, I'm letting you know we're going to feel like it. I mean, we already understand that. We've been around long enough that we understand there is a temptation to give up because we're going to feel like giving up. That's not new. But the fight is to not give up when we feel like it. And also the fight is to believe and do. Say, believe and do. So it's a fight to believe and do what we say we believe when everything is telling us not to. Right? It's not that we don't believe. It's going to be a temptation and an attack to not believe or at least to quit doing or acting on what we believe. And not acting on what we believe, it gets the same results as not believing. Right? So we might still believe, but if we quit acting, quit doing, we get the same result. It produces the same result as not believing at all. And then it's a fight to keep speaking and doing. Let's say keep speaking and doing. Speaking and doing. Keep speaking and doing. Hallelujah. And so it's a fight to keep speaking and doing the word when it looks like nothing is changing. Right? There's going to be this mirage. There's going to be this temptation to look around and go, I don't see anything changing. It's not working. So I'm going to stop speaking and I'm going to stop acting or doing the word. See, that's what the fight is. The fight is not with people and the fight is not with the devil like this. The fight is he's going to attack us here. And he's going to say, just look around. Just feel your body. Nothing's changing. So you might as well just quit speaking. Quit speaking the word of God. Quit calling yourself healed. Quit calling your bank accounts full of money. Quit speaking the word of God. Quit saying peace. Just quit acting. Quit doing that. It's not doing anything. You're wasting your time. You might as well just leave the ring. He's going to apply pressure. Pressure. Might as well just give up. Just give up. See, that's what the fight is. That's what the fight is. The fight is not this. The fight is when these thoughts and these lies begin to attack our mind. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to yield to the pressure? Or are we going to take the word of God, stand up strong with a backbone, Holy Ghost strong backbone, and say, I said, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I said that I sow generously, bountifully, and blessing may come to others, and I reap generously, bountifully, and blessing. I'm purposeful and intentional. And God's ability is at work on my behalf, making every favor and earthly blessing come to us in abundance. So I'm always having all sufficiency in all things and having abundance for every good work. I'm rich and wealthy in everything. Because by the poverty of Jesus, I've been made rich, wealthy, and increasing in goods. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. Now, today, this very moment, now, today. Hallelujah. I refuse to fear. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I have power, love, and a sound mind. I refuse to fear. Hallelujah. See, so this is the fight. And we're going to have to fight back. We have to fight the thoughts. We think we're fighting people. We're not fighting people. Fighting thoughts. That's where the attack comes. Attack comes with our thoughts. The temptation to quit, to give up. The devil will always contest and challenge what we say we believe. So if we know that, we're ready. Amen? You know, someone, if you're a boxer or if you're in the martial arts, self-defense, you have a stance. You're actually always aware. You're never caught off balance. You're always keeping yourself in balance. So you're never pushed and fall over. You're always balanced. You're always able to catch yourself. And so, you know, Matthew is in Taekwondo. He's got his black belt in Taekwondo. And so there's this, you're taught that. And if you continue in it and continue practicing, you stay. You know, you can lose it by, you know, if you just don't practice and you don't think about it anymore, then I think you can lose some of it. But you stay balanced. And so the thing is, if we understand that the devil's always going to contest and challenge what we say we believe, then we're ready. We're ready for the attack. We're ready for the thoughts. And we're not caught off guard by the thoughts. We're not pushed over because we're off balance. No, we're ready. And so we're ready with the Word of God. The thought comes and we attack it with the Word. Amen? It's not like, whoa, where did that thought come from? We know. We just know. You know, if we say we believe something, there's going to be an attack. Because he's always going to contest. He's not going to lay down. He's not a lay down devil. No, he's a slam down devil. We slam him down. Jesus slammed him down, and Jesus said, listen, put him under your feet. Keep him under your feet. So we keep him down. Amen? He's not going to lay down. Not for us. No, he wants to keep getting up. And so we have to make him stay down. It's a fight. It's a fight. So that's why there is a fight and a battle. That's why there's a faith fight and a believing battle. And it's a faith fight because we fight with faith. We fight with the Word of God. It's a believing battle because we fight with what we believe. We believe God's Word. We believe God that it shall be even as it was told us. Amen? So that's why it's a faith fight and a believing battle. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. All right. So, first thing first, we see Mark chapter 4, verse 11. Verse 10, it says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12, so there was a crowd. I don't know how big the crowd was, but there were people with the 12, so it was more than 12. Right? So it wasn't just the disciples, it was those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. In other words, they wanted more information. They had questions. And so they came to him and they asked him about the parable. And Jesus said in verse 11, he says, to you who want to know more, to you who are hungry for more, to you who have come to me and said, can you let us know more about what you just said? We want to know more. We want to understand more about what you just said. To those who are hungry, to those who wanted to know more, to those who want to hear more detail. He says, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. To you. Everyone else, who's not hungry, everyone else who doesn't care, everyone else who's just satisfied with the parable and go, that's a nice story, and they walk off. They have no questions. They really don't care. They haven't thought about it. They haven't pondered it. There's no questions. They have no questions. No, I didn't think about it. I mean, it was just nice. It was a beautiful day, and it was a nice message, and it was just fun to be together with other people. And, you know, no, that's fine. But he says, to you who have come to me and say, you know what? I want to know more about what you just said. I want some inside information. You know, I want to understand more. How can I apply what you just said to my life? Like there's some stuff that's missing, some things I don't understand. How can I? See, they came to him and said, can you let us know? And he said, to you, it has been given to know the mystery, the divine secrets, the inside information on how the kingdom of God functions and operates. Amen? Hallelujah. It's the same today. To us who are hungry, it has been given to know the mystery, the divine secrets, the inside information about how the kingdom of God operates. And so then the first thing he said, verse 13, he says, listen, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? He said, there is a key in this parable that's going to help you understand all the rest. You need to get a hold of what's in this one so you can, it will unlock all the rest. And the first thing he said, verse 14, the first thing he said about this mystery and the divine secrets and the inside information about how the kingdom of God operates, the first thing he said in verse 14 is the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. In other words, words are seeds. Words are seeds. Words are seeds. This is the first key. Right away, I'm going to reveal to you how the kingdom of God operates. The mystery, the divine secret, some inside information about how the kingdom of God operates just because you came and asked. First thing he said is, words are seed. Words are seed. Words are seed. Then he goes on to say in verse 15, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, that when they hear the word, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16, and these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, or because there's no deep roots, it's just a new seed, because they have no root in themselves, they're only able to endure for a time. And afterward, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble or are offended. See, the persecution and the tribulation arises. The pressure and the heat is turned up because of the word's sake. Now, it's not just for the sake of the word. It's because the word has come to us. And what happens when we hear the word? Faith comes when we hear the word. So the devil's really after the faith, not necessarily the word, but what the word produces. The word produces faith. And John said this in 1 John chapter 5. He said that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. See, faith is the dangerous thing. Faith is the thing that causes us to walk in victory and to overcome. Faith is what the devil's after. He doesn't want our faith. He wants to steal it from us. He wants to rob it from us. He wants to take it from us. And so we see in the first part there, so here we are. Let's go to, keep your finger here because we're coming back. But Matthew chapter 13 gives us some clarity on this. Matthew chapter 13, verse 21. Matthew 13, verse 21 says this. Actually, let's back up to verse 19. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, right? Because the devil's after the word because it produces faith in us. And we see the first one, they hear the word, and Satan comes immediately and steals the word. Well, how does that happen? How does that happen? Matthew tells us, verse 19, Matthew 13, verse 19 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that was sown in their heart. And this is he who receives seed by the wayside. That when he receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself. And because of not having a root in himself, he only endures for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So, we see here, the only way the devil can steal the word is when we don't understand it. And when we don't really care to understand it, it can be stolen. He can just steal it. If we understand it, that messes up the whole stealing plan. So if we understand it, he can't steal it. So then he has to, there's another worthwhile strategy. He has to put in something. Strategy number two. Strategy number one is just to steal it. And the only way he can steal it is if we don't understand and don't even care to understand. But when we do understand, he can't do that. So he has to go to strategy number two. And strategy number two is to apply pressure through tribulation and persecution. Tribulation and persecution. So he can't steal it, so now he applies pressure. Why? Because he's wanting us to exit the ring. He wants us to quit. Right? And so he wants us to stop believing what we just heard. And because it's the word is fresh and we're excited about it, but we have no root, he's endeavoring. It's much easier to get us to just say, forget it, than after we have spent months and months and months and years in it, believing it, acting on it, and seeing results. Then it's much harder to get us to stumble, to be offended. Now, for decades, I actually taught Mark chapter 4. The word stumble is actually the Greek word that means offended. But then I read it in Matthew, and I began to see something else. It's not just the being offended and saying, this doesn't work, right? Because, you know, someone will hear the word and they'll act on it for a week, a day, you know, and not see any results in the first day or the first week. And so they get offended and they'll, you know, throw the word down and just say, well, forget it. Doesn't work. Offended. But I began to see when I read Matthew that the pressure's on. They have no root in themselves, so they only endure for a while. Why? Because there's no root. It doesn't seem to be proven to them, and so they act on it. But when the tribulation and persecution arises, when the heat's turned up, when the pressure comes, they stumble. They stumble. They fall. They might skin their knee. They might scrape up their hand. They might scrape up their elbow. They might, you know, get some bruises. And not necessarily get offended, but all of a sudden they kind of get up and they brush themselves off and they back up. They back up to where it's comfortable. They back up, they back away from the pressure. So they still believe it, but they've decided, I'm not going to be so aggressive about it. You know what? I believe that, but I'm just backing up to where it's comfortable. I'm going to get comfortable where I get away from the pressure. So every time I speak it and declare it and begin to rejoice, pressure comes. So I'm going to quit speaking it. I'm going to quit rejoicing about it. I'm just going to say, you know, I'm just going to, you know, talk occasionally. Oh yeah, I believe that. Someone says something, I'll go, oh yeah, I believe that. Now I don't get any results anymore, but I still believe that. See, they've backed up to their comfort zone. They've just backed up. Why? Because they stumbled. They fell. They got hurt. And it's like, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to stumble. I don't like that. And so they back up. They retreat to their comfort zone. Right? There's the three kinds of people. There's the museum keepers who are content to just dust off the memories of the past. Then there's the settlers where they, they've taken some land, they've possessed something, but now they've just kind of settled. They decided to back off, and it's comfortable here, so I'm just going to stay here. So they settle, and they don't move forward anymore. They're not moving backwards, but they're not moving forward. We're kind of settled. Comfort zone, it's comfy here. So we're just going to settle here. This is enough. This is enough. You know, we'll just settle for normal, average, and ordinary. This is enough. No pressure, no tribulation. It's comfortable. And then there's the pioneers who decide to take new territory. Amen? They run through a troop and leap over a wall. They have the spirit of faith. We move forward. And so they might fall, they might stumble, they might get bruised and cut, and so they might back up for a moment just to kind of heal, and we strategize and move forward again. Amen? I stumbled and fell, and I got myself bruised and cut. Let's not do that again. Why did that happen? Figure out why it happened, and then move forward again. Amen? Hallelujah. Wiser and smarter. But we're not settling. We didn't just back up and settle. We're moving forward. Amen? Hallelujah. And so that's what I saw here. Okay, you know what? They stumbled. They stumbled, and then they just backed off to where it was just comfortable again. So back to Mark chapter 4. So that was strategy number two. Strategy number two. Because we're talking about here the fight of faith. And because Satan always contests and challenges what we say we believe, we're talking about the fight of faith here. And we're talking about as Satan attacks or challenges us, it's revealed in three different ways here. All four, people have called this the four types of ground. Jesus talks about four types of ground. There's a seed falls on four types of ground. Now, these four types of ground are not, I've heard it said that there are four types of hearts. No, there's not four types of hearts. This is just four types of ground. Because we can actually have every single one of these grounds in our life. In different situations. You hear the word on this, and you hear the word on this, and you hear the word about this, and you hear the word about that. You hear the word preached. And we could have all four types of ground in us in regards to four different things that we've heard from the word. One part, one, you know, we might hear one word or subject or something taught, and we just like, oh, I don't understand that. I don't get it. And that the devil's able to steal it. And then there's other ones. So we can have stony ground, we can have wayside ground, we can have good ground, all in us. Why? Because these are four different ways of thinking. Four different ways of thinking. Four different ways of thinking. The first way is, I don't understand and I don't care. And because we think that way, the devil's able to steal right away. The next way of thinking, which we see is verse 16, the stony ground thinking, is we hear the word, we're excited about the word, but because we have no root in ourselves, when the pressure comes on, we just finally go, you know what? Whoa, I'm backing up. I didn't expect that. You know, so just back up. Offended or just back up and get comfortable. That's the second way of thinking. Stony ground thinking. stony ground thinking. And then if we actually don't give up, and if we don't stumble, and we're not offended, and we keep moving forward, then Satan has to come up with another strategy. And strategy number three would be verse 18. Now, therefore, the one sown among thorns. So now there's thorns, right? So we may have stumbled, but we keep moving forward. Or else we didn't stumble at all because we didn't cave in under the pressure. We expected the pressure, and we fought through the pressure. We attacked the pressure. We didn't allow the pressure and the heat to back us off. And so then strategy number three from the devil is called thorny ground thinking. This is his strategy number three. These are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. All right, same word. Hear the word. Faith comes. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in, choking the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So, now we see, this is his third strategy, he's going to bring the cares of this world. Now, the word cares in the Greek is the word distractions. Distractions. So what is he going to do? He's going to distract us to get our focus off. We hear the word, we're focused on the word. We're focused on the great and precious promise of the word. But now he's going to bring distractions. He's going to bring a distraction to get our focus off of the word, to get our focus off of the great and precious promise. Right? A distraction to cause us to lose focus. Distractions. And then the deceitfulness of riches. Now Mammon, in Mark chapter 6, and 1 Timothy chapter 6, talks about Mammon has this idea that money is the answer. If we just had more money, life would be great. See, that's the lie of the enemy. And then we're told in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that we're not to put our trust in the uncertainty of riches, but in the living God who freely and richly gives us all things to enjoy. So the riches are not the issue, it's where our trust is. He said, don't trust riches, trust God. You can enjoy a bunch of riches. God will freely and richly give us all things to enjoy, but don't put your trust in it. Put our trust in God. And so there's this deceitfulness of riches. And the word deceitful, this Greek word also is the word delude or delusion. So when someone's delusional, what do? When someone's delusional, they believe the lie. They believe the lie. As a matter of fact, they don't even think it's a lie. They literally believe it's the truth. Like we're talking about, right? I don't have an alcohol problem. I don't have a pornography problem. I don't have a lying problem. I don't have a stealing problem. Where did you get all that stuff? Oh, I just found it. You know, they're delusional. They believe the lie. They believe the lie. So, the deceitfulness of riches, so the cares or the distractions of this world or this age, the deceitfulness of riches, they just become delusional. Delusional with money, delusional with finances, delusional thinking that that's the answer. I just need to get more because that's the answer. Everything will be fine if I just had more, if I just had more money. Life will be good. If I just had the corner office, if I just had more money, I'd be more popular. If I had more money, life would be good. If I had more money, I'd be able to sleep better. If I just had more money, everything will be all right. Delusional. Money is not designed to make everything all right. Money is designed to serve us, to accomplish the will of God. We can enjoy life, but it's not the answer. It's not our hope. It's not our Savior. Money is not the Savior. Mammon will tell you money's our Savior. It's a lie. And then he goes on to say, and the desire of other things entering in, and it does what? It chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The desire for other things. You notice when the devil talked to Eve, He said, look at the tree, you know, the trees, you know, looks amazing. Fruit is amazing. It tastes delicious. Did God say? And she said, yeah. He said, you know, don't touch it. Don't eat and don't touch it or you'll die. God didn't say don't touch it. He just said don't eat. So when she touched it and didn't die, it's like, oh, right? So, but he said, no, that's not true. See, she believed the lie. She believed the lie. And then he talked about, he lied. He said, God said that when you take of this, your eyes will be open and you know good and evil. She could have known good and evil just by sitting down with God and just saying, okay, you know, teach me about evil. I don't want to experience evil. I just want to teach me about it so I can understand it. And he would have taught her about it. They would have understand. But what the devil, see, here's the lie, is he didn't want them to just understand evil. He wanted them to experience evil. And when they experienced it, then he had a foothold in their life. He could now begin to cause the evil result. He could cause death in their life. But he didn't tell them that. So she believed the lie. And he said, this is what she said. She looked at the tree and it looked good and saw that it would create wisdom. She desired the wisdom that would come from the tree. That was the lie. See, the desire for other things. People desire the wisdom. They desire the corner office. They desire the popularity. They desire all these other things. The desire for other things. Can you see the distraction? You hear the word, we're moving with God, and all of a sudden, the distractions of the age, the delusion of money, and this desire for other stuff. What did it do? It got them off focus. Got them off focus. If the devil can just set fires and get us putting out fires, we've lost our focus. We're following him around putting out fires. We're not supposed to follow the devil around putting out fires. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit, not led by the devil. But if he can just distract us by setting fires and we're good putting out fires, we're not being led by the Holy Ghost anymore. Distraction. 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 This is his third strategy. And what does it do? The Bible says in verse 19, it says that it chokes the word. It literally chokes our faith. Kills it, makes it unfruitful, chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. God's will and desire for us is to be fruitful. But if the word is choked, it becomes unfruitful. So then we see here, verse 20 says, but these are the ones who sow on good ground, those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. These are massive numbers. Because 30-fold on $1 is already in the billion flow. $1 billion flow, $1. 30-fold on $1 is already a billion. $10 will be $10 billion. $100 will be $100 billion. $1,000 is already in trillion. So 30-fold is already in the billion-trillion flow. These are big numbers. These are the ones who sow on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. These are big, big. God wants us to be fruitful. Amen? And so, let's go ahead and just go to, God wants us to bear fruit, to be fruitful. He wants us to be productive. Productive in our lives. So, Luke chapter 8, keep your finger here, we're coming back, but Luke chapter 8 gives us a little more insight to what is going on in this fruitful, this fourth way of thinking. This fourth way of thinking. We've actually passed and overcome strategy number one, strategy number two, strategy number three in order to enjoy number four. Number four. Right? So this is heart or ground or fourth way of thinking, which produces results. Luke chapter 8, verse 15 says this, "But the ones that fell on the good ground, the honest, noble ground, are those who, having heard the word with a honest and noble and good heart, they do what? They keep it and bear fruit with patience." So there's a couple more words thrown in here that were not in Mark chapter 4. Let us know how to become fruitful and productive. Number one, he says, we hear it with a good, noble heart. And number two, we keep it. In other words, keep it. We don't let it go. We don't release it. We don't throw it down and get offended and say, that doesn't work, forget it, right? We keep it. Another word for keep is the word guard. We guard the word, right? We guard our heart and we guard the word. We don't allow the distractions to come. We don't allow the pressure to overcome us, the tribulation and persecution to knock us off course. We stay focused. We guard it. So we receive it with a noble, good, and honest heart. We keep it. We guard it. We don't let it go. We don't throw it away. And we bear fruit with patience. Now, once again, this just reminds me what we're talking about just in the last couple parts. Remember, we talked about the three keys to receiving our healing. Key number one, patience. Two, establishing our heart. Three, grumble not. And you notice, if you just think about strategy number one, strategy number two, strategy number three, thinking number one, thinking number two, thinking number three, all will have, there's no patience. That's why they gave up. They didn't establish their heart. That's why they're distracted. And they grumbled and complained. Well, that's the pressure. That's the pressure. That doesn't work anymore. Well, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't get it. See? Whining and complaining. So if we want to enjoy our healing, we're talking about healing month, okay? But I mean, it applies in every area, but we're talking about healing month. So, you know, if we want to enjoy our healing and experience the progression of healing and health and wholeness and strength in our bodies, we need to understand these three keys. And this is an attack. So we need patience. And he said, in order to be fruitful, we're fruitful with patience, consistency. We're constant, 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 constant. We're the same day in and day out. We're the same on the word. We're constant in the word. Cheerful endurance is another word for patience. Another way to be translated. Cheerful endurance. We're not just enduring with grumbling and complaining. No, it's cheerful. We have a smile on our face and we're excited about it. Amen? We may not feel excited. Like sometimes when you're under pressure, you don't feel excited. But we choose to make ourselves excited. Why? Because this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. I just will. I choose to. I may not feel like it. The feeling will come again. But sometimes we just have to choose to and make ourselves rejoice and be glad before we feel like it again. Amen? So, we hear with an honest and good heart. We keep it. And patience, once again, is that key that it's staring us in the face. It's very important to be patient, to be consistent, cheerful, endurance. So we win as we continue doing the word and bear fruit. So now let's finish off Mark chapter 4, starting verse 24. Verse 24. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Says this, "Then he said to them, take heed what you hear." Now, in Luke, it says, take heed how you hear. So it's very important. What do you mean by how? Well, we need to hear. The how would be we want to hear with an attitude to act. Amen? We're not just hearing to hear. We're not just hearing to take notes. But we're hearing to act. So take heed how you hear. In other words, we want to hear so we can take some action. But then not only is it the how, but it's also, we see here in Mark chapter 4, take heed what you hear. What does that mean? That means we need to take heed to the thoughts that we are listening to. Take heed to what you hear, the thoughts you are listening to. Take heed to the thoughts you are listening to. Why? Because what you are focusing on, the thoughts that you are thinking, the thoughts that you are listening to, the thoughts that you are focusing on, with the same measure you use. What does that mean? Well, the same measure of the thought and study. The Amplified Bible actually says thought and study. The measure of the thinking, the measure of thought and study that you put into what you're hearing. That's why he said, take heed to what you hear. Why? Because it's going to produce a result, positive or negative, good or bad. Take heed to what you are hearing or listening to. Because the measure of what you are listening to, the measure of what you are thinking about, is the measure of fruitfulness that we will have in our life. Take heed what you're listening to, because the amount of listening and the amount of thought and study that you're putting into what we're listening to will be the measure of the fruitfulness, the production, what we will produce in our lives. And to you who hear, who continue to hear, more will be given. More good, more bad. I mean, we might as well make a choice. I want to keep hearing the Word of God. I want to keep hearing good stuff. I want to keep hearing stuff that's going to cause me to be productive, fruitful. Focus on that stuff, not the stuff that's going to make me unfruitful or unproductive. Right? This is the way it works. For whoever has, verse 25, for whoever has what? Well, verse 23 says this, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So if anyone has what? Has ears to hear, hearing ears, right? If anyone has a hearing ear, to him more will be given. For whoever does not have a hearing ear, does not care to hear, doesn't even care what he heard, even what he has heard will be taken away from him. And we saw that. That's what we just, verse 15. When we don't understand it, the devil's able to steal it. So we are to be what? We're to have hearing ears. And we're to have hearing ears and decide to be doers of what we hear. And whatever we hear, more will be given. See, that's why God is able to, those that are hungry, he's able to fill. They came to hear. They heard, and then they had some more questions. And he said, to you it's given to know more. And he began to explain some inside information and divine secrets in regards to how the kingdom of God functions and operates. So, whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Verse 26, the kingdom of God is as if a man or someone, people, mankind, should scatter seed on the ground. How do we do that? With our words. What we say and what we hear, okay? Should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. So we're scattering seed with the words. We speak, we're scattering seed. We speak, and it produces. We speak, and it produces, good or bad. So it's very important that we understand we ought to be speaking in line with God's word, because it's going to produce. It's going to produce a result. Verse 28, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then after that the full corn in the head. In other words, it's producing. Our words are seed, and they are producing. They don't produce overnight. And so that's one of the ways we can be deceived, is we say something, you know, for the first day, the first week, the first month, and it doesn't really, nothing changes. And so we think it's not creating a bad result or a good result. And then we wonder why it seems like a year later a bad result happens. Where did that come from? First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. In verse 29, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Fruitfulness. We win as we continue being doers of the word and bear fruit. It's a result of the measure of revelation, speaking and doing the word of God. It is a result. Our harvest is a result of the measure of revelation, the measure of speaking, and the measure of doing the word of God. And so I was thinking about this yesterday as I was going through this. It's like, you know, look at that. Verse 29 says, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle and because the harvest is ready. And the word sickle means to speak, and it means to call or to take. Now it's interesting. In order to receive the good things of God, we have to reap it, and we have to take it. A lot of it has to be reaped and taken. Very little of it just seems to happen. And then I began to think about the garden, you know. In order to produce results in the garden, there's work, there's effort, right? Weeds. You don't even have to think about the weeds. You just have to walk away from the garden for long enough, and the weeds tend to grow. It's the same thing in our life. We can just say some words contrary to the word of God. We can just speak. And the bad things we don't necessarily have to harvest. We don't necessarily have to really work on. The bad things, something they just seem to happen. How did that bad thing happen? I didn't reap that bad thing. Yeah, but we sowed some seed and it just happened. But the things of God, because there's an enemy, he's endeavoring to hinder and slow things down. So we need to reap them, and we need to take hold of the things of God. There's a little more work. There's a little more effort. Just like in the garden. You know, if we want to have a good garden and to grow, there's a tending, there is a work, there's effort, there's always having to pay attention to get good results in the garden. Amen? Do you understand that? So I began to see that. I mean, if we want bad things to happen, just do nothing. And they just seem to happen. But we want good things, it's going to require some work, it's going to require some tending. Amen? We're going to have to guard our garden. We're going to have to tend our garden for it to happen, right? So it's like, okay, isn't that interesting? You know, we just wish it would have, all the good things would just happen. But we need to reap it. So sometimes it's ready to be reaped, but we haven't reaped it, so it hasn't happened. And so they just don't happen. Just a key there, just something to think about. For us to experience some stuff that we may not have experienced before, good things. So, in closing, let me just kind of wrap up what we've been talking about this whole healing month. Our healing is not just a result of us knowing the promises. Right? We need to know the promises. That's why we handed out the amazing healing scriptures, because it's very important that we know the promises. We need to speak them. We need to declare them. We need to personalize them and begin to thank and praise God for them in our lives. But then we need to have a spirit of faith. Remember, we talked about the spirit of faith. We need to have a spirit of faith by being lit from the word of God with revelation knowledge on fire. On fire. Hallelujah. And then we need to believe and speak the word confidently. The spirit of faith will cause us to speak the word confidently. Not just tentatively, but confidently, because we are expecting. And then we talked about patience, the importance of consistency and cheerful endurance. Then we talked about establishing our hearts. It's important that we fix and turn to God and to His Word. We fix our mind, we fix our attention, we fix ourselves, we turn and fix ourselves in His direction, His Word, and towards Him. Establishing our heart with the shout of faith and praise. Continually, the shout of faith and praise. Continually. Why? Because we believe that we receive. Amen? Hallelujah. The spirit of faith, the shout of faith and praise. And then grumble not. We don't complain. We're not complainers. We're not whiners and complainers. But we are lovers. We're lovers of God and lovers of others. We are forgivers of others, and we're forgivers of ourselves. And we're praisers. We praise God. Amen? We talked about that. And then what? We don't give up. We don't give up. There's these three strategies against us to give up. No, we don't give up, but we stay standing and receive from God. We don't give up, we stay standing, and we receive from God. The faith fight and the believing battle. These are just some very important keys, truths, top level truths and insight from the Word of God to help us receive and walk in and enjoy our healing. Healing is not just automatic. So this kind of wraps up our healing month, our three-day challenge that we did in regards to new hope for being well again. Hallelujah. There is hope. And there is it's possible. We're not stuck. But it's going to require some extra effort. And that's what we've been talking about here in these four specific parts that we've been talking about over Healing Month. Amen? Glory to God.